This Rise and Shine podcast series has been made possible by the generosity of the Zitelman Family Foundation, which is committed to the unity and continuity of the Jewish people through meaningful and relevant Jewish education and wisdom.
A full life is one in which we experience the innocence and wonderment of a child, the vigor of youth, and the maturity and the wisdom of old age. A full life.
This is Rise and Shine, a podcast that offers timeless wisdom and uplifting meditations to fill your heart, feed your soul, and start your day on a positive note. Here is Adrienne Gold Davis.
When I was a young woman, I always held in my stomach. It was a point of pride, actually, that tightened girdle made of my own flesh and muscle. You know, I put a pillow on my lap when I sat down in a chair so I could let out some of that trapped breath. And even in the bathtub or the shower, I would do it. Maybe it became like a compulsion, an OCD tic, but its genesis was purely vanity and self-loathing. You decide. The upside was that I developed strong stomach muscles, but the downside was an absolute refusal to look at myself, to relax myself in my natural state. Sunbathing, before we knew how bad it was for you, was a torment. You see, I had to lay down, holding my stomach while also adjusting my legs so that my thighs would tip inwards or be half tucked beneath me. And of course, I also had to prevent my breasts from tipping into my armpits. I was in a constant state of having a Charlie horse, and it didn't end there either. Later, when I married, I did everything with my stomach held in as well. Are you catching my drift? Imagine how pleasure is minimized when posing becomes more important than feeling. And it can't just have been me. And then I had children, and all of this self-imposed pain was left behind with my stomach muscles. You see, it didn't matter how much I held my stomach in. That extra skin from pregnancy, those stretch marks and battle scars, were not helped by exercise or even by diet. And I came to understand that my body had a greater purpose than the public gaze. I saw that body of mine as a gift that beget children, that fed and nurtured them, and that there was a distinct beauty and confidence in feeling purposeful and not just decorative. All of this happened before I came to understand the Jewish view of the body-soul relationship, which only served to cement my resolve to live peacefully in my skin. The Torah has this interesting notion about what can be called beautiful. One can find this hinted even in the holiday of Sukkot, where we're told to take a fruit of the beautiful tree, or the Pri Etz Hadar in Hebrew. But how did they know what fruit was being referenced? How did they know it was the etrog? In his article called The Etrog and Jewish Beauty, Rabbi Joshua Schmidman says the following extraordinary thing. The Talmud wishes to define what constitutes a beautiful tree by analyzing the Hebrew word for beautiful, hadar. The sages conclude that it's the etrog tree, because the word hadar is interpreted to be a fruit which dwells continuously all year on the tree. Hadar, literally that which dwells. Thus, they understand the word dar to mean the opposite of temporary or intermittent residence. Rather, it implies permanence, a continuous process through time, similar to the French word durer or the English word endure. So the etrog tree fulfills this requirement of constant dwelling, for most other fruits are seasonal, but the etrog, it grows and blossoms and produces fruit throughout all the seasons, in the heat and in the cold, in the wind and in the storm. It persists stubbornly. It endures. And in the Jewish view, that is why it's beautiful. Beauty, then, in classical Jewish terms and sources, means the indomitable power of life, the determination to live on despite all difficulties, the affirmation of the victory of life over death, the drive for eternity. I was so struck and so moved by this idea, because in a culture that equates beauty with youth and with impermanence, in a culture that celebrates the flash in the pan and neglects the hard-earned wisdom of getting older, this concept not only gives us permission to age, but also a reason to celebrate. If endurance is beauty, if dwelling continuously is beauty, then we become more beautiful as we get older. And the body keeps the score, we know that. But what if its scorecard was a reason to feel more beautiful? What if each sign of aging and each scar and marking is something we feel pride in rather than shame in? Now, this is not to say that caring for our bodies, eating properly, exercising, cherishing the vessel that holds our eternal soul isn't a Jewish mandate as well, because it certainly is. But chasing eternal youth is decidedly not. Did you know that all signs of aging didn't even exist until Abraham, our forefather, prayed for them? Listen to Rabbi Kelman's explanation. The Talmud says that until Abraham, there were no signs of old age. What could be better than an eternal, youthful appearance? Well, for starters, it might be hard to tell people apart. And the teaching continues. Whoever wished to speak to Abraham would often speak to Yitzchak, that was his son. And the one who wished to speak to Yitzchak would often speak to Abraham. With Yitzchak looking like his father, and with no discernible signs of aging, it was next to impossible to tell the father and the son apart. Thereupon, Abraham prayed for mercy, and old age came into existence. Now, the Midrash, the stories that fill in the lines that explain the text, need not be interpreted literally, and we need not to think that Abraham's main concern was that of identification. It says, "And Abraham was old, full of days, and God blessed him with everything." Abraham understood there are different stages in life. As Rabbi Soloveitchik so beautifully explains regarding Sarah, that's Abraham's wife again and our foremother, a full life is one in which we experience the innocence and wonderment of a child, the vigor of youth, and the maturity and the wisdom of old age. A full life. A life that endures in a body that endures, with the wonderment and innocence that you had as a girl, and the energy you had in your younger years, and the collected wisdom of all your experiences. And when we really get behind this concept, we're offered a different, more forgiving worldview of what it means to value ourselves, even in a culture that benefits from our insecurity and self-loathing. This is a kind of a revelation this week. Can you spend some time considering what you define as beauty, but not just aesthetically? Can you keep exercising and eating properly and use your creams and potions, but also let your stomach out a bit, stare at your naked self, and offer thanks? Thanks to your Creator for putting your soul in a body that is serving you, and even if it is ill or broken or disabled in any way, as long as it is still drawing breath, it is beautiful and purposeful. May we all meet our own gaze in the mirror with pride and joy. It is, after all, your birthright. And that is worth celebrating with dessert.
Thanks for listening to Rise and Shine. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to Momentum Podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Join Adrian again next time for more timeless wisdom and uplifting meditations that fill your heart, feed your soul, and start your day on a positive note.
This podcast was sponsored by the Zeitelman Family Foundation. Spread the wisdom. Inspire Jewish individuals around the globe by supporting Momentum's podcasts. To sponsor, contact podcast at momentumunlimited.org. You're listening to a Momentum podcast. For unlimited inspiration, wisdom, and empowerment, visit momentumunlimited.org.